when you're inside the jar. You can't read the label when you're inside the jar. And so 90% of our beliefs every day are subconscious. So it's like you have to get in there and mine that subconscious and figure out, what are the beliefs that are keeping me from doing something different?
Hey everyone, what's happening? I am super stoked to welcome you to the Marley Williams podcast, where we will explore authentic leadership, transformational facilitation, and how to create epic experiences for your audiences every single time. I am your host, Marley Williams, bringing you thought-provoking insights, expert interviews, and actionable strategies to unlock your potential as a leader, facilitator, and speaker. Thank you for joining me on this journey of growth, transformation, and impact. Let's lead together. The Marley Williams podcast begins now. Let's dive in. Well, hey, everybody, what is happening? I'd love to welcome you back to the Marley Williams podcast, where this week we're talking about money with Julia Carlson. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here, Marley.
Oh my gosh. I am so stoked to have you. As an entrepreneur, someone who's worked for myself for the past 10 years, I think that money can be amazing and it can be one of the biggest challenges that we have to build our businesses, to grow our businesses, which is what you're really known for, right? How do we scale these things without sabotaging ourselves, without sacrificing ourselves? So I would love for you to just maybe, as we begin this conversation, to give people a little bit of a taste of who you are and the journey that brought you to, you know, being the CEO of Financial Freedom Wealth Management Group and really getting to support incredible entrepreneurs around scaling these businesses to and like taking it to a whole nother level that maybe they didn't even know was possible.
Yeah, I love that because where I'm at, I didn't know it was possible. So it is possible.
It is possible.
And first, I want to say congratulations on 10 years of being an entrepreneur. So that's amazing.
10 years. I know. Yeah. It's wild to think about every single dollar that has come into my bank account over the past 10 years was something that I created. I have not received a paycheck from a salaried position for 10 years. And it is wild to think about. And I'm like, okay.
And that is success. So congratulations. Because most entrepreneurs don't make it that long.
Yeah.
It is a ride.
It's a journey.
Yeah. So to share a little bit about my background, I grew up in a household that money was talked about. And now after a almost 30-year career in the money business, I realized how rare that was. And so my first job was at McDonald's making $5 an hour. And my dad sat me down and was like, okay, you need to save and you need to invest. And he helped me open up my very first mutual fund with $25.
Wow.
And I don't think there's been a month since then that I haven't invested. It just like instilled this habit in me.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, it is a huge gift that my parents gave me that I don't think I appreciated until way later in life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, you know, from there, I started working at a local bank. So I always was drawn to investments and finance and money. I was licensed as a financial advisor, basically, when I was 20 years old, so before I could legally drink.
Wow.
And then at 23, I found the glass ceiling of the bank, and I went to the branch manager, and I'm like, I'm ready to be an advisor. And they said, great, as soon as the advisor you support leaves, you can have that position, which would have been 10 years later, because I'm in a very rural town on the Oregon coast. So at 23, I left the bank and started what is now Financial Freedom Wealth Management Group.
Amazing. That is incredible.
Yeah, that's the short story, but it comes with a lot of ups and downs of that entrepreneur roller coaster. And I have no regrets, but I've learned a lot. And now my passion is coming and helping other entrepreneurs, like not only from a money angle and helping them with their finances, but also from a strategy perspective and how to scale and grow a company, because they're both two different things.
Yeah. And we're going to dive into both today, because I think that, again, I think entrepreneurs start a business because they have a passion for helping people in some capacity, typically like a lot of folks that are listening to this. And they're not coming in with like a degree in business or economics or financial planning or financial advice, you know, all of these things that we have to like learn as we go on the fly. And yet, like you said at the beginning, it's like a lot of businesses don't succeed because we don't maybe have this knowledge or have this education. And so I am curious, you said I've learned a lot along the way, and I would love for you to just maybe start with like, what are some of the lessons you learned that you now use with the entrepreneurs you work with? From, again, it sounds like there's both this, there's a strategy piece to the puzzle around our money and our finances, but then there's this like a scaling piece, right? And taking it to the next level.
Yeah. So two different, there's a framework for how businesses grow and scale that I've developed, but then also it's who we become as an entrepreneur. That's honestly like the best gift of all. Like, yes, I'm financially independent. Yes, I've done all these things, but who I've become in the process of that is the most powerful. And I call that the entrepreneurial spiral, right? Like, we don't grow in a straight line. We come back around. We have to learn lessons more than once. We have to grow and evolve and plateau and evolve some more and reflect, like all of that, which is a really, I think as entrepreneurs, we're wired a little crazy. We're wired to want to go for something bigger and take the risk. And so I think in that you become who you're supposed to be in that process. So for me, I feel like it's just really purposeful in going through all of those journeys on your road of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I love that question, right? Like, who do you get to become along the way? And how do we grow? And, you know, I really think that like building a business is this like invitation to expand, to evolve, to really understand like that becoming process. And sometimes we think it's going to be, again, like this linear path from point A to point B. It's going to be this very straightforward thing. And it's like, it goes up, it goes down, there's plateaus, there's lessons that we learn along the way. And I think it's important for wherever people are at who are listening to this is to not make yourself wrong wherever you're at.
Yeah, especially when it comes to money, because there's so much shame and guilt and regret in money, in past money stories. Like, none of us are perfect with our money. And so I think it's really important that there is no judgment. There is no shame. And it's just like, it's just a lesson. Hey, I learned from that failure. Now I'm going to move forward and do things better. And I think then the framework that you put on top of that entrepreneurial spiral is then like the stages of business. So I don't know about you, but the first couple of years in business was like super hustle for me. I stayed in that stage way too long. And I actually got my identity tied into doing and the success and the achievements. And so when I wasn't doing, I felt guilt. And so for me, I was like in this rat race of like, yes, being very successful on the outside, but feeling like it was never enough on the inside. And I call that toxic hustle. So there's good hustle. Yeah, you're going to work all the time. You leave your a day job, a secure day job, and now you have a 24/7 job as a business owner. There's some healthy hustle, but also what I have found in working with entrepreneurs is sometimes there can be some toxicity in that, some burnout, some overwhelm, some just like you're working all the time to try to make it and it's just not healthy. Often your body will burn out. Your body will tell you you're working too hard. So it's just like where I come in helping my entrepreneurs is usually they are at the end of the hustle, which I have found is typically like 500,000 to 1,000,000 in revenue. So it's like they may have 4 or 5 team members or employees or independent contractors. They're feeling successful. They're making good money, but they're just at the end of themselves. And what I always like to say, what gets you to 1,000,000 in revenue are the exact same things that will hold you back on your way to 10 million in revenue. It's a mind game.
Yeah, that is a mindset. I am so curious. Yeah, like the mindset shift that you help people navigate. Because again, kind of that quote of like, what got you here won't get you there. Of you have done so much up to this point to build a business that, you know, some people listening to this, they're like, oh my God, I would it would be amazing to be making $500,000 in my business, you know, so today it's like, I think the invitation is just to the blow even our own expectations of what's possible and defining like, well, what does success look like for you too? And how important it is to know what that is.
And you could even take that down to like, okay, I'm just reaching six figures. Like I'm just coming up on 100,000 in revenue. And now, oh, to get to 500, I'm going to have to do things differently. I can't do it all by myself. And so the concept, the name of my new book is called Let's Get You Fired. And yes. The whole idea is that you can't do it by yourself. Like I am who I am. I've built what I've built because of my team, because of the people that have surrounded me, because of my mentors and guides and coaches that I've invested in. And so I think it's just really important that it's like at whatever level you're at, the things that get you to one level are probably going to, you have to evolve from, you have to go up that spiral, right? And get to that next level.
Yeah. I think that piece, you know, as someone who has been a solopreneur for 10 years, it's like, I've dabbled in like hiring people. And then I realized like, ooh, I'm not great at managing them. And I don't know how to do this. And I'm like, bye, I'll just do it myself. And I know that I am holding myself back. 100%. We can even do like a mini case study. It's like, all right, let's go. You know, it's like real time, real live coaching here, because I think that it's like, no one can do it as good as me. Like, what are all of the barriers that block people and stop people, right, from like letting go of this? Like, I need to do it all myself, and realizing like, if I keep doing it all myself, I'm not actually going to be able to grow and be able to scale. And how do you help people shift that mindset and like get to a place where, is it skills that they learn? Again, I've tried to hire people, it hasn't worked out. And then I've just given up on that. And I'm like, okay, well, here's where I'm at. And then I guess I'm going to just be here forever.
Well, I have found founding entrepreneurs are not the best managers. Like I am really bad at managing people. I just assume that they're going to do work like me. I have 23 employees. I have one direct report. So I have someone, a number two, I call him, that is in charge of all of the team. And I can then be more in that visionary role. But how do you do that when you're going from one to two? So the advice I would say is, when I was going from one to two to three, I was still holding on to all of the outcomes in my business, which meant that I was a drive-by delegator. I'd be saying, okay, can you do this? Can you call this person? Can you make this trade? Can you do this email? I still owned it all. For as you grow, you have to actually think about bringing in people that are aligned with your vision, that see where you're going, that have the same core values as you, and then actually give them ownership over different parts of your business. So instead of saying, hey, schedule this person for next Tuesday, you would say, hey, Jessica is in charge of my schedule. I'm going to have her reach out to you and schedule something. So that way, someone owns a whole project, a whole end result, a whole piece of your business, where their job, their reward, their income, all of that is dependent on them doing a really good job owning that end result. So we call it like owning outcomes versus delegating tasks. It's a big shift. As you grow, like then it becomes, okay, someone's in charge of marketing, someone's in charge of finance, someone's in charge of operations. And that's normally not the entrepreneur.
Yeah. And it's like, again, realizing like, what are the things that only you can do? And realizing there are other people that like doing those other things that you hate doing, right? And it's like, I think sometimes we can get into that toxic hustle because we're trying to do all of the things. And some of those really can be like so energetically draining and depleting, and they're taking time and energy away from like you sharing your gifts with people in the way that like lights you up and energizes you and fuels you.
Yeah. There's a whole like a hustle audit that I have a tool in the book that's exactly that. Exactly helping you identify what's your superpower and how you should be operating in that. And oh, by the way, that's going to change over time. As you grow, as you evolve, so you have to keep revisiting that as you level up. And I like to say, fire yourself from areas of your business to then take you to the next level.
Yeah. I love an assessment where it's like, okay, we got to check ourselves, right? And be like, okay, what are the behaviors? What am I doing that may not be working anymore.
Yeah. And that simple self-awareness, you will start self-correcting. Like if you write down everything I'm doing in 15-minute increments, yeah, it's a pain in the butt to do. But if you do that, you're like, you'll start self-correcting. You'll know, be like, okay, I do not need to be doing this activity. I can have someone else help me with that.
Yeah, 100%. So I'm curious, when you work with business owners who, I'm guessing service-based, product-based, you do all of it.
Yeah, primarily, it does seem that more that come to me is service-based. But yeah, or like an online coaching program or coursework or a publishing house, or I'm just thinking of, we do have a hospitality company. So it's like, it is a mix. It's getting broader, but they do seem to be service-based businesses.
I'd be so curious again, because a lot of people listening, they're coaches, they're speakers. For me, I'm like, I'm kind of like a personal brand with like, okay, I'm selling speaking, right? You're like, well, how do I scale that? Or, you know, if we're doing coaching programs that are live or whatever, right? So it's like, it can be hard to think about like that, what's possible and breaking through. And you said something earlier that I think is powerful, like, where are we limiting ourselves and what we believe is possible and creating our own internal glass ceilings? Where do you see people, you know, again, from like the mindset piece, there's the strategy, but the mindset of like, what could I build? What could I create as a thought leader, personal brand, someone who has a message on my heart to share? What do you wish people like could see that maybe they don't always see in this journey of kind of moving from that hustle space, or, you know, maybe like the six figures to a half a million, you know, again, there's steps along that journey, but where do people, you know, again, from a mindset and strategy perspective, kind of limit themselves in what's possible?
Okay. The first thing that comes to mind is like, for me, my own experience, I'm from a very small town, like the population is 2000. My office is in Newport where there's 10,000 people. And for probably 10 years, my mindset was, oh, I'm never going to be able to build a big business here because the population is so small. And fast forward now, and we are in the top 1% of the nation. And so it was that mindset of, I have to get out of the box and think differently, think strategically. It's like that, I love that quote. It's like, when you're inside the jar, you can't read the label when you're inside the jar. And so our beliefs are so internal, our subconscious, that it's like you have, they're 90% of our beliefs every day are subconscious. So it's like you have to get in there and mine that subconscious and figure out, what are the beliefs that are keeping me from doing something different? And so I think getting into communities, having mentors, having coaches that are challenging your beliefs, I think is so powerful. I mean, I think, you know, even what I've learned from you, Marley, in the speaking world, it's like, oh, I have to think about this totally differently from how I once was thinking about it.
Mm.
And then you start thinking, oh, maybe it's, you know, group programs. Maybe it's developing my IP into a process that I'm selling. There's so many ways now that we have opportunity with social, with the internet, with AI. It's like, there's just so much opportunity. So how do you kind of find something and really focus in on one direction?
Yeah. And I think it's, again, there's beliefs that stop us and there's beliefs that serve us. And I think it's important, again, going back to that self-awareness piece of like, what are the stories that I'm telling myself? You know, and I hear people say it all the time, you know, things like, oh, marketing is hard, or nobody wants to buy this, or people can't afford it, or my retreat is too expensive, or
I can't launch during the holidays.
Yeah. Like, this isn't the right time. And so it's just like, what are the stories that we're telling ourselves about ourselves? And I think that, you know, like believing in our work so fiercely that we're willing to share it and believe in the value that we offer in the marketplace. And I think a lot of people that I've seen either undercharge or undervalue or don't believe in themselves enough to, quote unquote, people say things, I'll charge what you're worth or whatever, right? Maybe this could be a good question to explore, is like helping people understand the value of their offering, the value of their service, and helping people understand that value. And then again, like, scale it. Because sometimes the value is in like the intimacy. Oh, it's valuable because it's a small group of people. but how am I going to deliver this if there's 100 people in this group, if there's 200 people in this group? And then again, we like limit or we cap what's possible or who we can impact because of a belief around what the value is, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also like, for me, I think about what is the transformation that I'm going to deliver to them and thinking about the value of that. And so, I mean, there's lots of different ways to look at it. Number one, though, it's like, what is the cost of doing business? What is your hourly rate? Like, what are the costs that you have in your business? I mean, a lot of my work when we do a deep dive with an entrepreneur is looking at their profit margins and understanding the cost to serve their clients. And even that, we're finding people are way undercharging themselves. I think it comes down to their money story. Like, once they can understand what is their beliefs about money and either healing that or understanding where that's like helping them connect the dots. I think that's so powerful when people can connect the dots of how they're thinking that way. That's that awareness. And then they can understand, hey, that's brought me to here. That's served me in this way. This is the gift of that. But now I'm moving here. It takes a lot of courage to say, I'm charging $1,000 an hour. Like, this is my value. Or like speaking, I want $15,000 for this engagement. But also people respect those boundaries. You know that you're going to show up as your best self and the audience is going to expect that. And so that's where that value exchange happens. So if you're showing up, hey, I'll do this, you know, I'll give you this deal. Energetically, it's not going to be a match. And so you need that scary number to say, oh, I got to show up as my best self to charge this amount and rise to that occasion.
You know, it's like you both have skin in the game because it's like they want to get the value out of it and you want to deliver the value and create that transformation. And it's like, I think that exchange is what creates that transformation. And I think it's like, what's a number that feels edgy and stretchy? And then how do we keep pushing our own boundaries of what we believe is possible, right? Like when I first started speaking out the gate, you know, I was charging $2,500. And at that moment in time, I was like, that's how much I pretty much made in a month. I made like $3,000 a month at that point. And so in my head, that was wild. Like I had no idea that that could be even possible. And then what happened was I remember asking my speaking coach at the time, I was like, when am I going to believe that I'm worth $2,500 or something like that? And he's like, when you ask for it and they say yes.
Absolutely.
And when, how much is it? $2,500. And then they said yes. It's like, okay. And that sense of like, oh my gosh, I don't want to disappoint them or like, I don't want to let them down or like from a good perspective of like, I want to deliver. And some of my first speeches and presentations were not the best. And had I come out the gate saying I'm a $15,000 speaker, it was like I would have blown out my nervous system or whatever, right? It's like it would have been like completely out of alignment and completely out of integrity. I think it's just like letting you, it's like sometimes I just say, like say a number out loud, see how it feels. Like, you know, I'm like, some, I say, who would you need to be in order to receive a check for $5,000 to give an hour-long keynote? Noticing, like, how does that feel in your body, in your nervous system? Like, are you like, okay, I'm here, I'm ready, I'm open to receiving that? And like playing with that number. Okay, well, how does 3,000 feel? How does 2,500 feel? What about 10?
Yeah, and I think you have to earn the right. So it's like, you can't come out of the gates just saying, hey, 15,000. No, it's like, it's again, who you become in earning that money and stepping into your worth and delivering it in a way that is transformational for the audience. Everyone has to start somewhere, but you just got to start. You just got to go for it.
You just got to start. Yeah, there's a great ebook out there that I don't know if people Google it, they can find it, but it's called Breaking the Time Barrier. And it's actually about getting out of the mindset of like hour for dollar mentality, especially when it comes to like a service-based business or even like a keynote speaker. Someone could say, oh, 15,000 for 1 hour or one day or something like that. And it's like, really what it was saying was like, they're paying for 40 years of every book you've read, every training you've gone to, everything that you've learned, who you have become in order to get on stage and deliver a powerful message. And I've heard people say too, you know, especially at bigger conferences, they're like, they spend more than $15,000 just on coffee. you're not that big of a deal.
Not for these bigger budgets. No way.
For the bigger budget, you know, for the bigger events, right? They're like, you know, and there's some Mel Robbins, what she charges like $300,000 or something for a keynote now.
Well, you think about the time, right? Meaning the, like, there's only one Marley, right? And so you can only go, the value is only going to go up as you hone your craft and your messaging and your expertise, all of that, right? And so, you know, on one hand, it's like, you do have to charge a lot because you only have so much time in the day.
Yeah. One of the jokes that I make sometimes is like, the speaking's free, but you have to pay for my travel. Because, you know, people, it's like, if I have to get on a plane and pack my bag and have someone watch my dog and, like, you know, I'm gone away from home for two or three days, I'm not able to speak other places or deliver other work or whatever, right? So, like, there is a value to that. And I appreciate what you said, too, is, again, it's not the hour for a dollar, but it's really, like, what is the transformation that you deliver for your client? And, like, really, that's what they're paying for. Instead of like, oh, charge what you're worth, it's like, can I really understand the impact that my coaching or speaking has on a team, a business, a company, an organization? And understanding that piece of the puzzle, I think, is so important. You mentioned something earlier that I'm like, I want to know more about. I'm super curious about this thing in your book that you call the anti-budget, because everybody talks about budget, but there's an anti-budget. I want to know what that's all about.
Okay, well, this isn't my first book that's out there now. You can get it on Amazon called Money Loves You. Yeah, so this is all about our personal relationship with money. We all have to have a relationship with money. So why not make it a great one? And so the idea of budgeting, or, hey, I'm going to restrict my spending, which basically is how people interpret that word. It's just like the energy of that is no fun. And this is basically out of like 15 years of the way that I've done money, or with me and my partner, but we know about how much money is flowing in every month. And if you're an entrepreneur, that changes all the time, but yet we know money's coming in and we know what we love to do. Like, everyone is going to spend money on what they value, right? Which is probably a housing of some sort. It's probably cell phones. It's probably a car. Like, we all get to spend money on things that make us happier. And so the way I like to think about spending money is maybe looking back and say, okay, over the last month, look at your credit card statement, look at your bank statement, and what did you spend money on? Did it bring you joy? Did it bring you comfort? Or are you looking at anything and saying, I don't even remember what that was for? Which happens to be a lot. Like, oh, I probably ate out way too much. Or I went to Target and I don't even remember what I spent money on. And so the way I like to teach it is, hey, everyone, you get to spend the money the way you, it's like freedom in how you spend money, but freedom comes from discipline, and discipline in spending money on things that make you happy. So that's how it's like, let's put money towards those things that you do value. And my hope is that the future you that wants financial independence, that wants financial freedom, is in that priority bucket of what you're spending money on.
Mm. I love that. Looking back and asking that question, I think, is so powerful, because sometimes we spend so mindlessly at times, right? If we don't have a budget, and like myself, I was like, I don't want to have a budget. Like, I'm an entrepreneur because I love freedom, right? And it's like, don't tell me what to do or what I can spend my money on or can't spend my money on. But recognizing, like, oh, what were those moments or those things that brought me joy? And am I spending money in alignment with my values and what matters to me, you know? And some people really value, like, I value personal growth. And it's, if you look at like how much I spend on that, or building my business or travel, or, you know, going out to meals with friends or whatever it is. And it's like, okay, tracking that. And is it that in alignment?
Yeah. And in the awareness of the joy of that, right? As opposed to being something of like, that's something you have to do, right?
Yeah. And even like the joy, and I've heard this too about like paying your bills. Like you mentioned, like housing, it's like, oh, when we pay our mortgage or our rent or whatever, or utilities, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy and grateful that I have this beautiful home that I get to live in, and that like I feel warm and I feel cozy and I feel, you know, all of these. It's like gratitude for when we receive it, but also gratitude for like spending it on the things that we love. Like, I'm so grateful we get to go on that trip. versus going on that trip and looking back, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe we spent this money on this thing.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we did that because that's something that is important.
And something I share with my entrepreneurial clients is like, you are always your best investment. A lot of financial advisors would be like, diversify, have all of this. But when you are starting a business and growing a business, like especially in that hustle, like go all in on you. Like it is a time to invest in yourself, invest in your business. And then as that grows and your business goes into different stages, then you can diversify. Then you can make other investments. But that first one, to really make a business work, it takes, yeah, a lot of hustle and hard work and passion, but also takes money and resources. And so it's okay to go all in on you.
Yeah. Time and time again, every time I invest in myself and like it pays off in dividends. And I think that it's important, you know, along the way to, like you mentioned, having coaches, having communities, having people to support you. It can be, you know, again, if you're a solopreneur working for yourself, like it can be a lonely road. And we tend to be our own worst enemy when it comes to like getting in our own way. And I was just curious, it made me think, I've been in business now for 10 years. What do you think, you know, I think that there are so many people that I meet, that I see, that I work with, they have huge hearts and they're here to make a difference. And the money piece tends to, it's like, they could be the best coach, practitioner, healer, and are still feeling like they're on the struggle bus when it comes to money. You know, I know you work with people kind of that are at like a whole new realm of reality, or like they're kind of at this point to scale. But those people that are like, should I, you know, at this point where should I keep doing this? Why isn't it working? Why is this so hard? Like this money, you know, it's like, I know I'm good at what I do, but the money part feels like it's in the way and I'm about to go get a job and say, and give up on my dreams. I just want to speak to that person because I think that there may be people out there listening that they're like, well, this all sounds great, but how do I actually do this?
Yeah. So I would say the first question I would ask, like, are they taking action? Like for me, it's like, you know, as entrepreneurs, we're all spiritual beings, but it's like we get a lot of downloads and inspiration. So are we taking action from that inspiration? Because oftentimes, if we know we should be doing something and we're not doing it, that's where fear lives. That's where the drudgery, the overwhelm, the stuckness is. So taking imperfect action is the most important thing in the startup phase of a business. Of you just got to keep taking action, and it doesn't have to be perfect. And it's like course correcting as you go. That would be one thing. And then the other thing I would be, is it a worthiness question? Is it like, are you charging what you should be charging? Are you discounting? Like I see so many business owners that are discounting, and that becomes like they're doing that all the time, as opposed to keeping the integrity of the business of this is the value of my services. If someone asks for a discount, the answer is no. Now, I may go and do pro bono work. I may have a client that I'm helping and not charging, but that's the exception. That's the mission. That's the giving generously piece of it. But for the most part, it's like, are you treating your business like a business and giving it that energy?
Yeah. I think it's so important, right? Like, again, it's like when there's so many people that said, I would just do this for free, or like, I would just do that, you know, because it's like my purpose and my calling and my mission and all of these things. And it's like, but that doesn't pay the rent. And like a lot of people do trades and like nothing, you know, if trades are great, but it's like, can you pay your rent or mortgage with a trade? And then like, those are great to do when you have that foundation. And I think that that's so important, whether it's a worthiness thing, not giving discounts. And you know, I think it's interesting too, is, you know, when I was newer in coaching and I would say my price and it's like, it's this much, you know, it's $1,700 or something like that. And it's like, and then you get this and you get this and you get this. And it's like, and then we're trying to like really justify it.
Yeah.
Or convince people of the value. It's like, we're trying to convince ourselves of the value sometimes. And it's like, I heard this one quote one time that I loved from a coach that said, get your hands out of other people's pockets. Like, stop making the decision for them in advance. Oh, if you are walking around saying no one can afford this, guess what? Every call you get on, It's like everything is a mirror.
Yes, yes. I was just thinking that. Yeah.
It's like if you're seeing that, it's a reflection of something in you that needs to be maybe nurtured or healed or looked at. And whether it's a worthiness piece, a value, you know, looking at your money stories. I love, you know, money loves you. Pick up the book. If you got, you know, if you want to change, you know, it's like we have to change our beliefs about money and what's possible in order to be able to receive.
Yeah. I mean, giving us stories of possibility and wonder. And also too, like money is just a resource and more good people need money to change the world. And so if you're discounting your stuff or you're not, sometimes I go to, you know, it's like startup entrepreneurs and I go to their social media and I'm like, where's the offer? Are you closed for business? Like outside looking in. So it's like sometimes we live in our own head so much that we assume we're putting ourselves out there and you have to ask for the business. You have to ask consistently. I mean, I just remember being in my 20s and going, you know, like pounding the pavement and asking for business. And I just got really comfortable with people telling no to me. And that just became a muscle that I had to build. But, you know, now we have social media. We didn't have that back then. But it's like, are you asking enough? Are you following up? Like, that is just so much of the work in the early stages is planting all of those seeds, knowing at some point they're going to harvest.
Yeah. Building and nurturing those relationships and being willing to, I think being visible is vulnerable, you know, whether that's knocking on doors or posting on social media. And I think sometimes people, you're right, like people post one time and they think everybody about their offer or their coaching or their services, and then they think everybody has seen it. And, you know, people need to hear and see stuff now. I mean, with just all of the noise and all of the distractions, like 15, 20, 30 times. You know, you think about like when was the last time you bought something on Instagram? How many times did you see that ad before you actually clicked the button and said, okay, Instagram, you got my number.
And two, the lost art of phone calls, like picking up and calling people or writing a handwritten note. Like these are all the things those are easy things that you can do that make you stand out in a very electronic world.
Yeah.
You know?
The power of a personal invitation, right? People ask me all the time, how do I fill a retreat? Invite people. I'm like, no one can hire you or no one can sign up for your retreat unless they know it exists, unless they know they can, right? And so, you know, I think that, you know, the invitation today is really, it's like, how can we remove the glass ceiling from ourselves? Where are we limiting what's possible? So what would you say as we bring things home today to help people take that glass ceiling off, experience a new reality around wealth, around abundance, around their money and in their business? And what advice would you give to folks out there listening right now?
What comes to mind is like trusting yourself. You have this special vision for how you want to help people. And sometimes when we're doing new things, we think the answers are outside of ourselves, but it's like the answers are within so many times. Like I learn this lesson all the time and I'm like, I think I have to go hire this person to get the answer or join this program, where really it's like, no, I just need to go for a walk in the woods and like see what my inner self is saying and trust that. That feels really important to share. And then also I'll say like, spend time with your future self. A lot of times we don't connect emotionally to who we're going to be in the future. There's a visualization exercise I have in my book that is, how do I spend some time through this visualization meditation with my future self and then come back and then be able to make decisions today from that future self? Because that's usually when you look at psychologists and reports, it's like they can't stick to the diet or they can't stick to the plan because they're emotionally not connected to who they're going to be in the future. And so really get to know her, spend time with her and visualize and make decisions today from that future self.
Yeah, I think that that's so powerful, right? That inner mentor, that future self, that version of you, it's like that believes in the life that you're building. And, you know, it's like, if we don't know where we're going, it's hard to get there. And I think it's putting pen to paper. I think it's so powerful to like set intentions of like, what do you want to make every month? What do you want to bring in annually? Like, what does that look like? And like, I always say it's like clarity and action are the languages of the universe. Are you clear on what you want, what you're building, what you're creating? And then are you taking action on behalf of that future self? And to create a compelling vision for your future that moves you, that inspires you, because there are days where we're not going to feel like it. And we're not going to, you know, it's like, I think sometimes we wait to feel motivated to pick up the phone or make the invitation or make the call. And it's like, motivation is not coming to save you. It's that future self. It's that vision. It's like, and what will that do for you? What will that create for you? Right. So it's not just about the number on the page, but it's like, okay, if I were making that much money a month or a year, how would my life feel? What would be different? What's the most exciting part about that for you? Like, what would light you up? And it's like, are you committed? Like, we get what we're committed to. And sometimes people are committed to their old stories and their old, because that's what feels safe. You know, so I don't want to make people wrong. It's how our brains are wired. They're wired to keep us safe. And so it's like, if your brain knows, I know what it feels like to make $4,000 a month. That feels safe. That feels comfortable. What would it feel like if I made $40,000 a month? And it's like, whoa. Like,
yeah. And you have to, like, that's one thing I do with my entrepreneurs, like actually having them write out their monthly income and actually do projections with them to say, okay, if you do this, this is how it's going to happen. And actually get used to, oh, if I make $100,000 a month, how does that feel? Like, I don't want them to freak out once they get there. I want them to be comfortable.
Yeah, 100%. And like, what is that number for you? What is that, like, again, fun, playful, edgy, stretchy number? And for those of you out there listening, information without implementation isn't enough. So I would encourage everybody, get out a pen, write it down. Write the number down that comes to your mind. Whether it's a monthly number, it's an annual number, whatever one like speaks to your heart and soul. It's like 10K a month. Great. Work backwards. What do I need to do? Okay, I charge $1,000 a month for coaching. Okay, that's 10 clients. Great. Break it down. Set a goal. Break it down. And like, again, take that aligned, inspired action in service of your future self and in service of your dreams and your goals. And I think, again, knowing that it's possible, other people every day are doing it. And so it's like, why not you? And like you said, more people, more good people with money will do good in the world. And like, there is research behind this.
Yeah. That's the ticket out of this situation we're in, right? Is more good people doing good things in the world with more money.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Julia, for sharing your knowledge, your heart, your love, your wisdom with all of us today. And to learn more about Julia, check out her books, Money Loves You and Let's Get You Fired. Is there anywhere else that you want to send people or for them to learn more about you and your work in the world?
Sure. Yeah. My website is thejuliacarlson.com. And my favorite social is Instagram. So you can find me at thejuliacarlson and you can hit me up in the DMs. I'll be there.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. And all of you out there who are listening, here's to your success, your financial freedom, your abundance. We're here for you, seeing you, believing you, supporting you. Let's break that glass ceiling one step at a time. Thank you, Julia. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you all so much. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on another inspiring episode of the Marley Williams podcast. We hope you're leaving here with renewed energy and valuable insights to fuel your leadership, coaching, and speaking endeavors. I'd love to invite you to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast to help us reach more aspiring leaders and speakers like you. We have more exciting episodes and remarkable guests lined up, so make sure to tune in next time. Until then, keep leading with purpose, coaching with heart, and speaking with conviction. This is Marley Williams signing off. See you next week.